Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Evangelist Felipe Redlas. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Come on, let's give Jesus the best hand clap you can. Now, if somebody said that to me, I would stand up. Come on, let's stand up. Let's stand up. Come on and give Jesus the best hand clap you can. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout glory. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Just close your eyes and just love him right now. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. Lord, you are excellent in all your ways. You are awesome. You are beautiful. Thank you for the blood on Calvary, Lord. Thank you for shedding your blood for me, oh God. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you. You are awesome. You are beautiful. You are altogether lovely, oh Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, shout it one more time. Hallelujah is the highest praise you can give to God. Now shout it again. Shout it again. Shout glory. Say holy, holy, holy. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, he is so wonderful. Lord, we invite you into this place, God. We invite your presence into this place, God. Woo, we love you, Father. We praise you. We glorify you. The Word of God says he dwells in the midst of praise, of worship. Hallelujah. So that's why I love when the people of God begin to praise and worship God. There are churches around this city, around this nation, that will not praise and worship God until his presence comes. But we know better. Hallelujah. If we will worship God, he will come into our midst. Hallelujah. And heal our sick soul, and heal our spirit, and heal our mind and our bodies. Hallelujah. The Word of God said, underneath the wings of the Lord, there is healing. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We praise you, O God. Hallelujah. You may be seated, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am so glad, and so honored to be here with you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Fee, for inviting me again. It's such an honor. I'm so excited to be here. It's good to see you. I was going to say Pastor G, but Brother G. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've been saying that last time. I'm prophesying over him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so many of you here, how many of you, is this the first time you ever seen me? Raise your hand, the first time. You know what? As the first time I see you guys too. I think I might have seen you before, but hey, we're even. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And do I see Alicia back there? Amen. And her beautiful mother. Amen. Want you two stand up, please. Just stand up. And get your purses, because I'm going to invite you to come on some VIP seats right over here that the Lord purchased with his blood. Hallelujah. And why is that young lady leaving? What's happening right over there? Come on, where are you going? Where are you going? Your kids? Bring your kids. All right, hurry up. It's a good stuff. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen. I met Alicia and her mother. And mother, what is your name? Ellen. Okay, Ellen, beautiful. And I met him with Pastor Fee. Pastor Fee, you know, man, you don't know how, what it took for me to get over here. It was crazy. It was crazy, crazy. It wasn't supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be nice, smooth sailing, but it wasn't that way. And I traveled from New York to Columbus, Ohio, to catch a flight in St. Louis, Kentucky, St. Louis. So I had a jam and get there, and I was tired and exhausted. So I can get my brother or somebody or rent a car and get home and go to sleep.
And Pastor Fee says, I want to pick you up. I said, well, you know, he's the pastor. He's bringing me in, so I got to, you know, listen to the pastor. And so, okay, pick me up. He goes, I said, okay, great. He's going to pick me up, and okay, he's going to take me home. I'm going to sleep. He goes, I got to go take care of something over there in, off of Mission Valley out there somewhere. And I go, oh, man, how long is Pastor Fee going to take me out there? So we left, and Pastor Fee sells homes. So if you need to sell your home or buy a home, you can see Pastor Fee, right? So I go there, and I see my teacher, one of my teachers, Pastor Gene Alum. And anybody know Gene Alum here? Raise your hand if you know Gene Alum. Yeah, some people, yes. So he brought our Sweetwater High School team to a CIF championship. So we were jamming there at Sweetwater High School. Amen. That's when I was a Red Devil. I'm not a Red Devil anymore. I'm a saint of God now. That was our mascot, the Red Devil. It's funny, I'll be there with the cheerleaders be, oh, go, you mighty devil, go, go. And for me, I never liked that. So I would go, go, you mighty huevo, go. So I wouldn't say the devil's name. I hated the devil even back then, even before I knew Jesus. So anyway, we went over there, and Alum had his niece. He's called her niece, and Fee was selling them a home, and that's how I met Alicia and Ellen. They're at their home at the beautiful condo that she has there. I was like, man, this is a nice little condo right here, nice and clean, and everything looks like a model, you know. And so I met Alicia and her mom, and it was such a pleasure. I was glad I was there to meet you all. It was such a beautiful family. And that's how we met, and we invited them to come, and I'm so glad that they came. Would you praise God and clap your hands to the Lord for God bringing them over? Amen. Welcome. Amen. You didn't know you had some VIP seats here, did you? Amen. Every time you come, you'll get some VIP seats. Amen. Amen. We all get some VIPs to see Jesus. Amen. Well, wonderful. Wonderful. There's just so many new faces here. It's great to see all of you folks here, and man, wonderful. So anyway, God has given me a word, and man, I never seen, I mean, I heard of the story, I know, you know, I read the story, but it really has never been preached that as long as I've been a minister. I don't remember, I hear references to it, but it was never preached, and I began to read it as God gave it, put it in my heart to, and I told Pastor Fee like last week or something, hey, Pastor Fee, God already gave me a word for the church in the morning, you know, and, but I would read it and just go over and meditate, see, God, what do you want to say to the church and to all those that are here today? And man, I could not stop crying. I cannot, and I think about it now, Lord, I got to preach this thing. I can't be crying up here, but I've been weeping over this story. And that's how much that story has touched my life. And it's still, there is so much in this story that I can't tell it all. It was just so rich and deep and so much in it that I couldn't even research everything that I wanted to. I just had to stop. I had to stop it. I was even last night going over it and reading and God giving me more. And I would just weep and cry and worship God there. And that's how much story has affected me, and yet I know there's more. I know there's more. You know, the Word of God says the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is powerful. It changes your life. It changes your situation. It changes things. If you would only read it, meditate on it, and pray. You know, there's some people, there's some churches that would say, don't read the Word of God because you won't understand it. That is not true. God gave to man so we can understand instructions, so we know how to live unto God and please God. And we have to read the Word, because if we don't read the directions, when it all comes down to the final situation, final day that we meet the Lord, and we don't get there, we're going to go, hey, what's up? Did you read the directions? No, I just, a lot of us guys, we don't read the directions. We just throw them away and say, hey, no, this bolt goes here, this goes there. We all, you know, But we need to read the directions. We need to read the instructions for the saving of our soul, for the way we're supposed to walk this life, to please God. And so when we become before Him, we know we did it. Yeah, Lord, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, that didn't work, Lord. And yeah, you corrected me on that, and I got it straight. I got that thing straight in my life. Yeah, I used to lie, cheat, and all that stuff. But man, I saw that in the Word of God. And you know what? I prefer heaven than the internal barbecue. I don't want to be no rotisserie pig in the internal barbecue of hell. So we have to know the Word of God. We have to know what God is saying to us. Lord, what are you saying to me? How could I change my life and serve you and please you? So, church, I'm going to bring this story, and it's coming from, I'm not going to read, excuse me, from the book of Mark, how the disciple of Christ, book of Mark, how he's written it, and also a little from Luke, how he's written it. So it has a little different flavor, but the same story, same situation, and it comes out of Mark 14. We'll go to Mark 14, I'm sorry. Mark 4, and also Luke 7. So let's go to Luke 7, starting at verse number 36. Amen. Amen. Luke. So that's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. And your Gospels. Hallelujah. Luke was a doctor. Amen. So, so it says in Luke 7, the 36th chapter. Everyone have it? All right, let us stand for the word. All right. And so Mark 4 also. So put your finger on Luke 7 and go to Mark 4. Put your finger in Luke 7 and go to Mark 4. Amen. Look around you. Make sure everyone knows where the Bible has the word in front of them. Look around, see if somebody needs the word. Amen. Share the word. Share the word. Amen. Amen. Mark, the fourth chapter. Are you there? All right. Mark, the fourth chapter, starting at verse number 1. It says, after 2 days, the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft. Take who? Jesus. And put him to what? Death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Verse number 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box. Everyone say an alabaster box. Of ointment and spikenard, a very precious, very, very precious ointment, oil. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it have been sold, it could have been sold for 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. They railed against her. Woman, what are you doing? Breaking this alabaster box and taking this precious, expensive oil and pouring it out. What is your problem? Are you sick in the mind? We need to call that mental house. That's not in scripture. That just bring a little more flavor to it. They murmured, complained about her, and Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For the poor you have always with you. So whenever you feel like doing good, you can. But me, you do not have always. I want to minister to you along these lines, the alabaster box. Pour it out. Break it and pour it out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you today. Lord, I ask you to prepare our hearts, our soul, our minds, Lord, to hear you. Lord, you touch, you change, Father. You bring birth, my God, within us, Lord, and transform us, God, that we may come closer and know you more. In Jesus' name, and everyone shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to go to Luke number 7. Luke number 7, 36. Luke 7, 36. I'm sorry, I'm going to start at verse 37. And it says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. So here's already Luke. He's telling you who this woman was, what she did out there in the city. She was a sinner. And she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house and brought an alabaster box and broke it and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. So here's a sinner woman, and when we're reading the sinner woman, we're getting the flavor of what type of woman she was. The Pharisee there, the priest there, said, oh, if Jesus was a true prophet, he would know what type of woman is touching him right now. If Jesus was a true prophet, he would know that this woman is a prostitute. She's a woman of the night. She doesn't even deserve to be in this place, and she's going crazy. And now she broke the alabaster box and pouring this very expensive oil on Jesus. What a waste, they're saying. The ointment, the oil, came from the Himalayas. It was exported to Israel. And it took a year's worth of wages to buy this oil. A year. They say it was worth about $25,000 to buy this perfume. So it said it was like an heirloom. It came from great-grandmother to grandmother to mother to daughter. So it was an heirloom passed down, and it was sealed so the fragrance wouldn't escape it. So it always hold its value. So they would take it. It was like your 401k or your savings, or, you know, that precious thing, that gold you save somewhere. So just in case when everything just goes down, the economy goes down, you still have that nest egg. So that's what that alabaster box was, that oil was. It was brought from the Himalayas, the mountains. When the monsoon would come in the Himalayas and the rivers would overflow, it would go upon the grass, these plants, and the river had a bacteria in it, and it would attack the grass, it would attack the roots. So in order for the plant to survive, the grass to survive, it would react by bringing this oil to protect itself. So when the flood came and tried to destroy the grass, tried to destroy the plants, the oil came up to protect itself, to live. And so when the monsoon, the river, everything went down, the people would come and collect the oil and fix it all up and everything. So it became very expensive, and the fragrance was strong and beautiful and very, very expensive. And that was imported and held in alabaster boxes. Or alabaster vases, or alabaster vessels. The alabaster was a white type of stone, and it was easy to shape, but it was hard. It's a type of stone, so they would seal that oil inside this alabaster. So when they would break it, that fragrance, that strong smell, that beautiful smell, boom, just filled the place, filled the room. And everybody coming out, man, they sensed it, they smelled it, man, and they knew it was expensive. So here comes this woman, and they're yelling at her, what are you doing? Have you gone mad? You're wasting this oil. And you see, this woman to me represents the church. It represents us. It represents a sinner coming to Jesus. See, many of us today, you know, you might have the belief of, oh, well, I'm waiting on God. If there's a God, I'm waiting on him. I believe in God, but I'm waiting on him. You know what? If you haven't experienced the presence of God yet, you haven't experienced the voice of God yet, you haven't experienced the touch of God yet, it's time for you to go in and meet God for yourself. The Word of God says, come boldly to the throne room of grace. He's inviting us to come to the throne room of grace. He's inviting us to humble ourselves, to repent of our sins. And Lord, allow me to come into your presence. This woman of the night, this city woman, this sinner woman, comes in. And in spite of the priest, the Pharisees, in spite of the apostles, the disciples, the teachers. Now we're coming to the end of Jesus' ministry, of Jesus' life. It's 6 to 2 days before Jesus is crucified that this is taking place. And here's his disciples. Here's Mark there, Matthew there, Judas is there, all his disciples, all of them are there. And they're railing on this woman. Woman, what are you doing? She's bringing the most expensive item there is known. So they had had their attention. Man, if I brought in a bunch of diamonds, a bunch of gold, I mean, just a bunch of diamonds. But man, you guys would be like, whoa, Brother Felipe, what are you doing? You know, if you start seeing those million-dollar bill stacks and now I just coming like this, I'll get your attention, wouldn't you? I would get your attention. Man, if I flew in right now with the helicopter or the Air Force One, I would get your attention. Why? Because it's saying something. It's making a statement. And that's what this woman was doing. She was coming with her alabaster box. It's exposed. She can be robbed. They can kill her for this thing. And somebody be very wealthy. But she came with her box inside this room. And she knew she was a sinner. She knew that she was a person that was not respected, a person that was considered dirt and nasty because of a type of work she was doing. But yet, in spite of the religious people, in spite of those who carried the word of God, in spite of those who despised her and called her a sinner, she still came into that house. She still came in. She came in. You know what? When you want to see Jesus, when you need Jesus to do something for you, you need to get desperate. You want to grab a hold of God? You want God to answer you? You want God to touch you? You need to get desperate. You need to get serious about encountering Jesus. You need to get serious about encountering the presence of God. You need to get serious. You need to become desperate. So when she brought that box, they got her attention. They said, whoa, you got my attention with that box. You have my attention, woman. What are you doing here with us Pharisees, with us priests and the disciples and the holy team? Team holy. And you know what that says to me? That represents people in the church. There will be people who criticize you for loving Jesus the way you do. Oh, you don't need to do all that. Oh, lift your hands. You don't need to do that. The Bible says to lift your hands to praise God. The Bible says to clap your hands to praise God. Clap your hands, somebody, and praise God. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Holy Scriptures say. And yet she's coming into the religious folks. And they're telling her off. And some of you are going to experience that in church. They're going to talk about you. Hey, I don't like the way you dance before the Lord up there. Oh, who do you think you are, praising God and worshiping God and dancing? Do you know in the Holy Scriptures it says to praise the Lord in the dance? Amen. Alicia, I'm going to tell you a little bit something about me. I love worshiping God. But in my house, I'll close the door. And I'll begin to dance before the Lord. Because the Bible says to worship God in the dance. You know, King David, I'm always trying to figure out a way. How can I get closer to the Lord? How can I come his A1 number uno ace in the side pocket homeboy? I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to just get closer and closer to the Lord. So I read, and I start learning. Ooh, that's a key right there. David danced before the Lord. That's what the Bible, the King David, David who wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in green pastures. The Psalm 23 that everyone loves, that everyone knows. King David, how'd you have that relationship with God? And then I read, he danced. Whoa, wait a minute. He danced before the Lord, and the Lord loved it. In fact, when somebody, his own wife, talked about him, so, man, what are you doing dancing before Israel and all that? Oh, how shameful you are before. And God shut her up. God shut her up. He did. And she thinks she was all big and bad because she was the former king's daughter. So she thought she was like, I know everything. I know about royalty. I know about all this stuff. And King David, you nasty. King David, the Bible says, this is the Bible. I'm telling you the truth. This is the word. I'll look it up. Ask me afterwards. Brother Felipe, you're lying. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. But the Bible says that King David was dancing before the Lord and that he danced his clothes off. That's what the Bible says. He danced his clothes off. Man, he was having a good time with Jesus. And that's why the woman, his wife, was just railing on him. What do you think? You're ashamed for all before Israel, just dancing away before the God. And she goes, and you know what David said? He didn't say, oh, man, I'm sorry, I just got a little excited, you know, about the Lord's presence coming back to Israel. I just got a little excited. So, you know what he said? You know what he told his wife? I said, okay, you think that was bad? Just hold on. Hang on. I'm going to do a little better than that. I'm going to dance like I've never danced before. You thought yesterday was good? Wait till today. That's what he said. That's in the Bible. He was not ashamed. And when they talked about him, man, say what? Say what? You thought that was bad, honey? You thought that was bad? You thought I was bad right there? Then just wait a minute till tonight. I'm going to party with God like I never partied before. Shh. Don't mess with David about worship. See, and that's exactly what happened with this woman that came with the alabaster box. They started downing her. She did not belong in that place. But she was in a desperate situation. She needed to get a hold of God. There was an emptiness in her life. There was a hole in her life. There was a brokenness in her heart, in her spirit. I don't know what happened in her life. She didn't grow up with a papa. Maybe she didn't know her papa. Maybe she was adopted. Maybe she was just in the streets. She went through a bacteria attacked her when she was a child and tried to destroy her. And all those things that she suffered, and who knows what. Men, uncles, cousins, trespassing against her body, against her mind, against her spirit. Talking about her and saying, you're a mistake. You weren't supposed to be here. Who knows how she came into this profession? And she told you, nobody loves you. I adopted you from the trash. And now you got to work for me, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. You were a mistake. But I want to tell you something. There is no oops in heaven. There is no oops. You are no oops. God just needed an oven for you to get here. God just needed an oven for you to get here. but you're not an oops. Hallelujah. You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. You have been called by God, chosen by God to live for Him. Hallelujah. To worship Him, to glorify Him, to love Him. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. You're no oops. But you know, she represents the church. She represents us. I see myself. You know what? Forget you religious people. Forget the priest, the Pharisees, the lawmakers, the disciples, even those that are supposed to be teaching about love. You're supposed to be teaching about the love of Jesus. You're supposed to be teaching this to me. But you're talking about me because of the expensive stuff that I'm coming with. The Word of God says this. It says that we have a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. There is a treasure in you. You are the alabaster box. And you have oil inside you. You have oil inside you that God wants. And some of you might have some oil, some fragrances, that it was some sacrifices that you guys made in your life. Situations that you made in your life. Wrong decisions that you made wrong in your life. But you survived. You overcame. Hallelujah. And it created this oil in you. You are here today. You thought about suicide. Hallelujah. You thought about killing yourself. Hallelujah. You thought that man was going to kill you. Hallelujah. You thought that woman was going to take you to jail. Hallelujah. But you survived. Thought that knife was going to kill you. Thought that bullet was going to get you. He was just telling us a story yesterday about how the gangs came after him, and those that were in that same party, four died. And Jesus and Fe went into coma. But he survived. The things that you have been through, the pressure that has happened in your life has created some oil in you. You survived the floods of the enemy. You survived the monsoon of the devil. Hallelujah. And you're like that grass, that oil. Woo, you know what? That oil represents the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost said, no, you can't kill me. Hallelujah. No, you're not going to get me. Hallelujah. I'm a survivor. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. Jesus said, no, you can't touch this. Hallelujah. She belongs to me. He belongs to me. Hallelujah. He's going to survive this flood, this onslaught of the devil. Hallelujah. He's going to survive because I have called him. You're a survivor. All this mess. You're a survivor. You have some wisdom now. You have some insight. You have some experience. The Word says this in Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. The sacrifices of a God are a broken, everyone say broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. Broken and a contrite heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. God wants you to break your alabaster box and pour out all your hurts, all your pains on Him. This woman with the alabaster box, she where's my box? What happened to my box? Don't be stealing my box, Pastor Fee. She broke it and began to pour on Jesus' head. And they begin to yell at her. And they begin to say, why are you wasting everything you have and giving everything you have to Jesus? They didn't see it. They didn't see it. They didn't recognize that all that we have, we must give back to the Lord. We must come broken to the Lord. so that oil can flow out, the oil that all the hurts, all the pains come out and flow onto the Lord. The Lord has kept you not to live a broken life, not to live in brokenness. God wants to take those broken pieces in your life and build you up. I always remember this little rhyme when I was a kid. I used to like saying it because I guess I could remember it real easy. Humpty Dumpty had a great wall. No, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a... All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But not so with the Lord. Hallelujah. Not with the King of Kings. The king's horses, the king's men. But man, when you call on the King of Kings, all the brokenness that you have experienced in your life, hallelujah, God can put it back together again. Hallelujah. And you won't even see the cracks. Hallelujah. You won't even see the seams. Hallelujah. God will make us into a precious and a beautiful vessel. A vessel, as the word of God says, a vessel of honor. He would turn this vessel of dishonor into a vessel of honor. If you would only break that box and pour out into Jesus. When you pour out into Jesus, and now that fragrance and all that oil begins to fill the room. It's like the anointing of God, the presence of God. When you give everything to God, you're going to feel the presence of God. You're going to know that God has accepted your sacrifice. There's a sacrifice that God wants from us. You know, let me ask you this question. How much of Jesus do you want? Nah, you don't want all of the sacrifice. You want 10%. 10% of Jesus. 25%. 50%. 75%. 90%. How about 99%? I mean, we could live well with 99% of Jesus' sacrifice. Is how are you living? And what you're doing in life worth Jesus dying for? How are you living? Is it worth Jesus dying for? Something to think about, huh? Raven Hill said that one preacher, and that hit me. Is what you're doing worth God, worth Jesus dying for? And that's why I ask today, how much sacrifice of Jesus do you need? Because if you're only giving 50% of your life to Jesus, or 10% or 1% to Jesus, and the rest is just your life, you're just going on and not even knowing what God is saying for us to do for Him, what He expects of us, how He expects us to live and to praise Him and to worship and how to seek Him, and we don't even know that. That's why we have to give Him everything, because we need to break that alabaster box. We need to pour out into the Lord. Back all the experiences in our life, all our hurts, all our pains, even the promises. And that's one of the toughest things that I had to do in my life as a Christian is, I want to live before God. I want to please Him. I want to honor Him. And God showed me something. God gave me something. And man, when I was in India, man, God showed me there, and I saw myself free. God showed me in a vision, you know, boom, how I was taking the harvest and all this, and how God wanted to bless me overseas and all this and all that stuff, and go and live there and bring souls to Christ. And then the Lord said something of me. He said, give it back to me. I said, say what? Wait a minute, I've sacrificed a lot in my life to get to this place, and this is what I wanted, and this is what you said you were going to give me. This is what you showed me, what you're going to give me. And now you're asking me to sacrifice it, to give it back to you, to let it go? I was like, I was not understanding. I was confused. I said, wait a minute, God. I gave up Hollywood. I gave up certain things that were happening and taking place. I sacrificed on that. They were offering me one of the leads in a soap opera. They said $20,000 a week, signed the contract. And I gave that to the Lord. And again, they came and offered me more and other things and stuff. The enemy came and just offered me stuff. Man, whatever you want, dude, just come back to Hollywood. Boom. No, I'm going to serve the Lord. And so here is the promise now God has given me. And then he says, now give it back to me. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Man, I've been through a lot, God. I've been through a lot to get to this place. Now, you're telling me not to go. I already went to India to look for a home. I already went to India. I mean, the whole setup, the whole structure set up. I'm ready just to step in and do it. And now you're asking me, God, to give my whole dream, my whole vision that you gave me. And I said, you know what? I need word on this. I need Bible on this. And I was talking to a pastor and his wife. I said, well, you know what? Because God was speaking through them also. And I said, okay, well, give me Bible. Can anybody give me Bible on it? Anybody can give me any Bible? Don't talk, pastor. Anybody can give me Bible? No. You got a Bible verse for me? How to give up my promise? Oh, that's nice. Yeah, you sound like you're prophesying, sister. Thank you. I'll receive it. Hallelujah. So the pastor spoke back at me and said, Abraham and Isaac. Man, the spear. Okay. So now what God is telling me and what these folks are telling me, now there's Bible. There's Bible on it. Abraham had a promise of a child. And that Abraham's seed was going to go and be more than the oceans, the sands of the ocean, more than the stars, like the stars. And now God is telling them to give sacrifice Isaac. And so here's Abraham, tied up his son, ready to sacrifice him. This is the very promise, God, that you told him. And now you're asking him to break it and pour it out as an offering to you? His own son? Here's Abraham, ready to do it. Ready to be obedient to God. Ready to give him his promise. The thing he's been waiting for, the sacrifice for the longest time, and yearning and wanting, desiring. Now it's going to be gone in a knife. And the Lord sends an angel. Stop, Abraham! Now the Lord knows that you love him. Now the Lord knows that you love him. And that change, that was a pivotal change of my life. I was living in boxes, have given everything away already, sold everything, yard sale, everything. Just had a little couple of heirlooms for the kids, that's it. A couple of school books for the kids, and that's it. And ready to move to India. Everything was already done, already set. Didn't have a home, anywhere, boxes, living in boxes. Ready to leave to India. And God speaks to me. Give it all to me. Sacrifice it. And I had to pour out and give it back to God. The Lord is asking us for something today. to break it, to break your alabaster box, to pour it out today. What's holding you back from giving everything to the Lord, breaking your precious thoughts, your precious dreams, your precious promises? What's holding you back from giving everything to God? Is it a man? Your husband? Boyfriend? Is it a woman? Is it your job? Is it money? Is it your position? Is it what might your friends think of you if you become a broken alabaster box and pour all your precious stuff on Jesus? What are your friends are going to say about you? You won't be able to go party and smoke and dope with them anymore. What's holding you back from being a broken vessel and pouring out everything into the Lord today? Is anything holding you back from giving everything to the Lord today? Will you stand and just close your eyes? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, just close your eyes, just meditate right now on the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know the perfect will of God? Become a living sacrifice today. Come broken before God right now. Pour out of your alabaster box. Pour onto the Lord today. And that fragrance will fill the house, signifying that the presence of God is here for you, ready to heal. And when Jesus heard what the Pharisees and they were saying about this woman, he said, leave her alone. And that's what God will do for you. He will stand up for you. When you give him all, you will hear from him when you give him your all. Why? Because he loves you. He cares for you. He has created you to be a worshiper, a child of his, called by his name, an anointed one. And the word of God tells us this with this woman. She broke this box and she said, because of what... And he said, because of what she did here today, it's going to be preached around the world for her memorial. God will remember you when you pour out everything. God will be a memorial for you. There will be before God a memorial of you because you poured out everything.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net. You came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And you're hearing this message right now. And you may not even know who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me. That God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of His Word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.